Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, we break down Canelo Alvarez's dominant performance over John Ryder. He wins. What is next? Is it Bivol? Is it Benavidez? It's probably Bivol. Can he beat him? We'll see. Let's go. What is up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Inside Boxing Live. This is a product of John Boy Media. I am Dan Canobio. He is a cigar-smoking Chris Algieri. It is late. We just watched Canelo Alvarez defeat John Ryder. Thought he was going to get him out of there early. A beautiful 1-2 in the fourth round. Drops Ryder. Ryder's tough, man. He lasted the distance. My parlay blew up in smoke, just like Chris's cigar. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. Early on, I thought that the fight was getting early and then I was going to look stupid because of what I said, but then was also excited because I wanted Canelo to excel. I don't care. Like, I'm one of those guys, I might make a prediction, but like, I don't want to stick to it if it hurts the sport. But at the end of the day, my prediction actually lasted. I thought that he was going to make it a tough, awkward fight that fans are not going to be happy with, and we're probably going to be with that. For the next couple days.
I'm looking at a lot of my feedback from videos. I just like a recap video I just posted, and you know, who should he fight next? And it's like, stay the hell away from Bivol and Benavidez, fight Jake Paul and right off into the sunset. There's no way he's beating Bivol. There's no way he's beating Benavidez, fight Berlanga, call it quits. I mean, tough crowd. He said this in a lot of our lead up stuff. It's like boxing is crazy. Like 2 years ago, Canelo is invincible. Loses a tough decision to Bivol, has that ho-hum win over Golovkin, and now he's almost looked at as yesterday's news. It's crazy, right?
Well, I said that about this fight. John was not the right guy to pick. John is a very tough fighter. He was going to come. He's going to fight.
Well, he didn't pick him, though. Dude, this is mandatory.
Yeah, but listen, guys like Canelo don't have to fight mandatories. They can pick... especially for a comeback fight, like, I mean, he could have chosen whoever and it would have been okay. Like, he's above all of the mandatories and the governing bodies, that especially the WBC and they would all give him whatever he wants.
They're all in the ring afterwards, but just trying to touch a hold of him, you know, Suleiman.
Of course, just touch him. Just touch the sweat on his shoulder.
Hey, we can use that 3%. We can use that. When are you going to give us our check?
Yeah, big monies. Anyway. But John Ryder was not the right guy. I mean, a lot of people were like, who is this guy? John Ryder is the wrong guy for so many reasons. One was, nobody over here knows who he is. UK fans definitely know who he is, which if he fought him in the UK, it made a lot of sense. Fighting him over here made no sense. He's a very, very tough guy. The chances of him getting him out of there, possible, almost didn't. And he just hung out. That's what John does. John's a very tough, rough, physical guy. He looked huge in the ring, by the way. He looked way bigger than Canelo.
Gorilla, that's right.
How did Canelo fight at 75?
Oh, it's a good question.
He looks small at 68.
Yeah, he's going to be fighting next at 175 if he gets his way. Before we get into all of that, this episode is brought to you by HelloFresh, Chris. HelloFresh takes the hassle out of mealtime, especially this spring, by delivering pre-proportioned ingredients and easy-to-prepare recipes right to your door. Skip the checkout lines because HelloFresh dinner has you covered. I love HelloFresh because I live in Manhattan. I work until 5, 6 in the afternoon or at night. I go home and I have all my ingredients there waiting for me. I don't got to go to the grocery store. And it's very good for you, too. Chris is a chef. He'll tell you that it's good for you. HelloFresh keeps your taste buds on your toes. 40 recipes and 100 seasonal and convenience items to choose from each week. This May, for instance, HelloFresh is celebrating Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. Limited time authentic recipes created in partnership with Chef. Wow, they're really giving me a tough name here. Chef Serbani Sanhi. And enjoy cultural taste tour right in your own kitchen. And how about this? I made some HelloFresh last week. Loved it. It was really good. Like I said, if you're on the go, like most people are, you come home, the last thing you do is you want to cook. You just want to lay on the couch, watch the Yankees. You want to lay on the couch, watch the Knicks. Lay on the couch, and like Chris does, he watches the Housewives. You could just make your meals. Boom, right then and there, and go. How about this, bro? This is like almost hard to believe. Go to HelloFresh.com/boxing16. Use code boxing16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. They're giving away meals. HelloFresh said, just take our meals. That's HelloFresh.com/boxing16. Start using America's number one meal kit today. That's boxing16. Love that.
Listen, I can cook. I'm not a chef. I know this guy who says I'm a chef. I'm not a chef. I have a cookbook. I like to cook. Anyway, but HelloFresh, awesome.
Yeah.
I've used it. It is very easy. It is, I mean.
Yes.
I don't want to use the word idiot-proof, but.
No, it is. It definitely is. I mean, most people that listen to our show, I mean, no offense to them. I mean, not me, at least. Yes. So I'm happy they're on board. So Canelo Alvarez gets the win, and I thought he looked. I agree with Maddox. I thought he looked B+. Like, I thought he came out fast, as fast as like Canelo would go, even though that's about no more than 40 punches a round. Beautiful 1-2 in the fourth round. Just vintage Canelo drops Ryder. I was like, all right, this is going to be an early night. And then he kind of fades. Kind of fades a little bit towards the end. He was actually outthrown over the last three rounds. Was outlanding him. It was low volume, high accuracy. Decent power, still looked something. I mean, he's 32 and he's got 63 fights. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like there's a little bit of slippage, but he's still pretty good. How would you rate his overall performance?
I don't think it has to do with the 32 and 60 and 60 whatever fights. It's the long career for sure, but it's also like I don't think he was really up for John. I think he thought that John Ryder was a perfect pick for a comeback fight off the hand injury. I think he thought that he was going to get him out of there. He didn't think that John was as tough as he was and is. But that's what John is. He's one of those guys. He's a stinker. He gets in there and he just makes a tough fight. He makes it ugly. That's how he's successful. He's tough as hell. He fought better after the knockdown than he did prior.
Yeah, love
up,
that.
Up to the knockdown, he did nothing. He looked like every British fighter who's ever fought Canelo up until the knockdown. He just looked like, I'm just going to sit here and just be
One thing before I get, I mean,
I'm completely unprepared to get beat up. And
one thing before I forget, this whole like narrative with Canelo, the Brit basher, like, that doesn't make him look like great. I don't think. I think he needs to start fighting other than these British guys. Like, start fighting like American fighters. Start fighting David Benavidez. Start fighting some of these guys we want to see. Like, I understand it's cool graphic and it looks great on social media. But now 7-0 versus British fighters. Like, okay, I'm supposed to be impressed by that? I don't get it.
Well, historically, we've never cared about that over here because the British fighters are never on the same level as the American fighters. Like, a lot of guys, all the British fighters wanted to come here and fight American fighters and come to American soil and, like, really, listen, everyone comes to America. So mm-hmm. beating up all the fighters from other countries is not a good look, really, historically, for any of us over here to kind of think that way. So, yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah, so back to what you thought of his overall performance. What would you give? What grade would you give him? You're a professor.
I mean, B-.
Do you think there was like, do you see any signs of slippage? Do you see like, obviously this isn't 2018, 2019, 2020.
I see signs of not being up to the fights. Like, he's not, this fight is not going to make him excited. And
really, even in front of like 50,000 in Mexico, his grandma, his abuela. Did you see that? His abuela had never seen him fight before. 94 years old. She's giving him the voodoo before the fight. Like, you don't think he was up for something like that?
I think he's trying to be up. Mm. I think he's looking for reasons to be up. I think going home, taking this fighter, this opponent. Listen, at the end of the day, we're fighters. Like, fighting at home is one thing, but like, I don't know. John wasn't the right guy to bring home. You're not going to blow
like
out, John.
Said, I know you say he doesn't have to do mandatories, but he kind of, if he wants to keep those belts, I mean, technically he does. I know he gets the Canelo rules and gets go around that, but he maybe could have got like a this is it. This was really it. They were, I don't know who else he could have came up with. Like, this guy was in line, mandatory, tough. Yeah, I could agree to a certain extent that maybe, yeah, he wasn't like fully up for it. Like he would be for a Bivol fight.
I still think you should have fought John over in UK. I think that would have been.
This was still a cool scene, sense. Though. Pretty fun scene.
But, oh no! Don't get me wrong. I mean, fighting at home was awesome. Guadalajara was amazing. I mean, Guadalajara is amazing, but I don't know if bringing John there was the right move. Ryder, I keep saying John Ryder. Like I mean, he's a very, very tough guy. I did plenty of. So we did our first interview about him. What was that like in January?
When we did our preview, yeah, like around March.
Yeah, preview. And like I was like, oh, John's gonna be, you know, one of those guys. He's gonna be really tough. It might be an ugly fight. People are not gonna be happy about it. I was partially right. I wasn't as right as I thought I was gonna be, but John was still a tough guy. It's probably the wrong guy to choose for that. It's really hard to look good against John.
Yeah, I think we said that, like, and Canel said this too. Like, the first couple rounds are gonna be difficult and it's gonna be tricky. I think it wasn't. It was the opposite. It was like the middle rounds were tricky. First four,
the
Ryder was
three rounds are really tough.
The Ryder didn't throw much in the first four rounds. He went down the fourth. He kind of found his rhythm there in the second half of the fight. Got tougher as it went on. Got tougher after the knockdown. Whatever. We knew kind of knew how this fight was going to play out. We knew it was going to be this type of 10-2, 11-1. One judge had it 12-0. Whatever. Canelo's back. He's in the win column, and now we look to what's next. Before the fight, he said, "I want Bivol. I want the rematch. I wanted it at 175. I want it on the exact same terms as last time." Bivol says, "You know what? Yeah, I want the rematch too. But how about we do it at 168? Let's do it for all your belts. Put something on the line, Canelo. We're gonna put my belt on the line this time. I'll go down to 168." I'll beat you again. I'll take all four of your belts. And Canelo say, no, I wanted that 175 now. As badly as I want to see the Benavidez fight, that's not next. He's fighting Bivol next. It's just a matter of what weight. And I think it's going to be at 175. And do you think he can beat him? Because I don't think he can. What do you think, Chris?
I don't think he beats him at 75 or 68. We've talked about this ad nauseum on the podcast. Like, I think the Benavidez fight makes the most sense next. I think that Canelo can actually has a much better chance of beating Benavidez than he does Bivol. I think he actually beats Benavidez at this point. But
I do too.
Yeah, which has changed my mind in recent thought. I don't see him beating Bivol. But if he fights Bivol and beats him,
Brown him.
We're talking all time great.
It's intriguing. We don't want to see it.
That's what Canelo's going for, though. That's what he's going. He's being like, hey, listen, I get this fight. It's basically an upset. It's basically I am erasing history in terms of him beating me. Like,
it's a ballsy.
That's what
move,
he's going
man.
For. He's fighting for legacy. It's a super ballsy move.
It's a ballsy move. It can backfire. That's why the weight comes into play.
I think it will.
The weight comes into play because if he does it at 168, which I don't think Bivol has much like negotiating power here, but like, yeah, he did has the win over him. But come on, it's Canelo Alvarez. Like, to do it at 168, there's a lot more on the line. But there's going to be that whole thing where, yeah, you avenged your loss, but you did it at a different weight. At 175, it's just Bivol's belt on the line. You know, it's different at 168 for a number of reasons. I kind of like Bivol kind of countering and saying, no, let's do it at 168, even though I don't think
smart
when it gets to the negotiating table. Like, what do you think? Like, I don't think Bivol's going to get his way there. I think Canelo wants it at 175. He's going to get it at 175.
Well, none of this is that Bivol's way. So the only aspect that goes Bivol's way is the money, because he's getting the biggest money fight they could possibly get. Like, what has he been doing lately? You know, he beat Ramirez in November. We're in May. Hasn't fought since. Canelo fought tonight. You know, Bivol is going to wait around for Canelo.
Yeah, he's got to wait. Eventually.
So we're looking at Bivol being off for almost a year,
it's
10
a
months.
Shame. It's a shame. It's a damn
right,
shame.
It's a shame. He's one of the best fighters in the world, essentially waiting around for Canelo.
I don't blame him.
No. I mean,
he tried to fight. He was supposed to fight Gilberto. No, he was supposed to fight. What's his name? No, that was Gilberto Ramirez. No, he really had no idea. Boazzi turned him down. He just has that Canelo lottery ticket dangling. Of course, he's going to wait, but I would like to see him fight in the meantime. Yes. Do I think that time off will hurt Bivol? Maybe, but I still think he's going to win. I just think he's all wrong for Canelo. You agree. I think it's next. I think that Canelo really wants that. Eddie Hearn can make it happen. Eddie loves being with Canelo. I mean, look at this. They pull out all the stops. The entrance was amazing. You know, the whole weekend, you can just tell Canelo and Eddie really like working together. So I can see that lasting as long as it can. And I'm going to go even as far as to say, after Canelo fights Bivol, he's going to fight Berlanga. I don't think we're going to get the Benavidez fight anytime soon, because it's just like, I think he can win. I think Canelo can beat Benavidez. Benavidez is just going to keep getting better. Still under 25 or 25 years old. I just think Canelo is really likes with Matchroom and just doesn't really care what the fans think. Get the Bivol fight. Should he beat him, he'll go back down to 168. Probably fight Berlanga at this rate.
You're breaking my heart here, Dan.
It's just what I see, man. It's what I see.
You see, you are optimistic, Dan. I am pessimistic, CA, and you're breaking my heart. That's
why would Canelo fight Benavidez? Ask me. Answer it. If he answer that question, why?
Get him now. Fight him now, because I there's a chance to beat him. The longer this goes, the more dragged out it becomes. It becomes Canelo Twilight fighting young, hungry Benavidez, and he loses. It's one of those, like, the older, younger lion eats the younger, older lion situation. Mm-hmm. And I think now he has a chance to do the Trinidad Fran of Vargas, the Trinidad David Reed, the Floyd Mayweather Canelo. Like, you get the guy early. Maybe it's too late. Maybe Benavidez is already too seasoned. But I don't know.
I mean, he looked good against Plant, but I thought there were like moments in the fight. I was like, oh, he can get, you know, there's moments where Canelo can do his thing in there. And there's moments where Benavidez.
Well, if you take that fight, you're like, Plant learned from fighting Canelo.
Right.
And it made him better against Benavidez. And then you saw that and you were like, wow, okay, maybe Canelo can actually beat this guy. Well, I mean, most people think he can beat him anyway, but like, guys like us who were like, well, I think Benavidez beats Canelo. I saw that fight and I was like, you know what? Canelo can actually still beat him.
The next two fights for Canelo, I think, are Bivol and I think Berlanga. What do you think Canelo's next two fights are?
I think if Canelo is smart, he's going right to Benavidez. And then after that, it's whatever the hell he wants, because he is Canelo Alvarez.
I think something has to go really wrong here for him not to fight Bivol now. The stars. It's like
I know a lot of the moves are going that way. A lot of the signs are going that way. But listen, all those signs, all those talks happen before the fight tonight.
Yeah, Matchroom's busy.
So
man.
What happens next?
For what?
With Canelo. What happens next? He just finished the fight with Ryder, which mm-hmm. went the way that I think I remember what you said, but it's definitely the way that I said it was going to go. So,
what's next?
I mean, a lot of the world were like, "Who is John Ryder?" Well, John Ryder's a tough guy. So,
yeah, I agree. We kind of, you know, opened the eyes of some people to say that this guy's tougher than he is. But I think more people would be like, "Oh, wait, is Ryder tough or is Canelo falling off?" Because people just
well,
hate on Canelo.
So that's the whole thing. Like, you and I said that Ryder's a really tough guy, really hard out, really tough guy to look good against. I said he's going to make everyone – Canelo's going to win. He's going to make everyone, like, kind of, like, upset about it, because they're like, oh, I thought he was going to do more. But that's just – I think that's more John than it is Canelo. I thought Canelo looked good.
Yeah.
It's just
– we'll see.
Know,
we'll see
Ryder,
what's next.
Ryder's one of those guys.
We'll see what's next. I think if I could put money on it, I would put Bivol rematch September. I think it's almost, like, 99%. Maybe there's that little 1% where you can fight Benavidez, but – some other news tonight, Regis Prograis officially signs with Matchroom. We was flirted about last week. It was reported. Reed just shut it down. But there he was with Eddie ringside. Interesting move. According to Mike Coppinger at ESPN, Top Rank offered more money. It kind of goes against what we said on our last show. We kind of came to the end of it, that whole segment we did. We're like, you know what? He should probably just get the most money, get the best deal, because it's so fractured at 140. Just hope belts move around. Hope you can do a cross promotion. But apparently he takes less money with Matchroom. He's fighting June 17th against Liam Paro, who is an Australian fighter in New Orleans. I thought it was interesting, Chris, because during the interview with Mannix, they asked Regis, who do you want to fight? He goes, I want Ryan Garcia. I want Tank Davis. I want Subrio Matias. None of those guys are with Matchroom. They're all with different promotions. It all changes if Haney goes to Matchroom. If Haney goes to Matchroom, then we got ourselves a nice little fight at 140. He also has to move up to 140. It's an interesting move. It's a weird move. Hergray's almost 35 years old. We finally thought that once he won this title and he became a free agent, he would go to Top Rank. I feel like Top Rank was probably made the most sense, even PBC. I had Matchroom third in terms of making the most sense, but it's official.
What does making more money mean? This is what everyone behind the scenes don't understand. What does that mean? Maybe the first fight?
Right.
Maybe the deal? Maybe whatever.
Signing bonus?
I mean, whatever. Sure.
But the way they worded it was that Top Rank's offer was more. So who knows?
But that's my point. What is the offer behind the offer? Mm-hmm. Is it the signing bonus? Because I can't imagine Top Rank having a big signing bonus.
Don't know the details of
Matchroom might have a bigger signing bonus with an early fight against a Liam Paro who is not that dangerous,
right,
and a decent payday versus going to Top Rank and fighting Ramirez, who's a very dangerous opponent.
Or how about the Tio Primo Taylor winner?
Yeah, but then you gotta wait.
No, what do you mean?
Wait. What are you gonna do in the meantime?
Well, I know you're saying
that fight's happening. Yeah,
well, so, and if he would have signed with Top Rank, he would just would have fought a Liam Paro of Top Rank, like someone at 140, and then from there fight the winner Teofimo Taylor or see if Haney sticks around.
But they don't
around.
Have. I mean, the Liam Paro of Top Rank would be Barbosa.
Yeah,
basically undefeated. You know, like world level contender. I mean, Liam Paro is a little higher than Barbosa in terms of where he's at in the world ranking, but like. Again, you're talking about signing bonus, you're talking about first fight, you're talking about next fight. Like, people don't understand how complicated these contracts are in terms of signings and first fight, second fight, third fight, and how they expand. Yeah. So I think that his team has been very smart in the way they've maneuvered him, and they're looking contractually intelligently about what's going on next. So I don't know. When Coppinger says, like, oh, there's more money in Top Rank, that's a.
I thought Top Rank ESPN.
There's a screen on that, yeah. Something saying like that.
I thought Top Rank ESPN was the move. Fight Ramirez, you've been flirting with for years. Fight Teofimo or Taylor. Haney sticks around there. CSPN, a lot of exposure. Even PBC. I heard Subrio Matias might be actually like. Not, I wouldn't say out of PBC, but like because a free agent, that changes everything too. But they got Matias. They have Rolly Romero is about to be a world champion next week at this time, next Saturday night. He's going to be a world champion. So that's two of the four belts belong on the PBC side if Matias stays. Like Haney is the big X factor here. I've heard rumors of Haney going back to Matchroom. Like a lot has to change there. Haney has to win against Lomachenko, and then he has to vacate all his belts. Then he has to move up to 140. Then he has to go to Matchroom. But if he moves to Matchroom, then Pergray-Haney could be a fun fight. But if Pergray stays at Matchroom and he fights Liam Paro, and then he fights Jack Catterall, and then he fights another, like, European guy, it's like, all right, I don't want to hear anything from Pergray anymore. Because all he did was talk about how these guys are ducking me, I'm frozen out of big fights, becomes a free agent, and yeah, maybe he got a good offer, that's great. But, like, he's always talking about how he wants to be in big fights, and if it's how we think it might go at Matchroom. I mean, good for him for getting a lot of money, but you're going to not be in the biggest fights.
Hey, listen, he's 35. If he wanted to take the bag and take the easiest route, a lot of fighters would not fault him for that.
Get it, definitely.
We'll see if that's the case. But, I mean, we spoke about it on the last show. I was like, hey, there's a lot of opportunities to cross-promote with the world that we live in now. It's very different now than it was, you know, 5, 6, 10 years ago, But I mean, only time will tell. I mean, listen, it's we wanted to say, like, oh, we got the bag now, but maybe not. But we don't know the back end deals because that's boxing.
We also don't know who will fight. Like, I'm sure Matchroom signed him to make the biggest fights possible. You'd think. I'm hoping he gets some of these big names. Who could it could all change. Three fights, a lot can change over the course of three fights. But I want big things for Regis Prograis. I mean, Eddie Hearn says we're gonna make this guy into a star. I'm like, dude, he's 35. what do we do? I agree. The guy should have been a star already. He has all the potential to have been like a top five, like popularity, you know, popular fighter with his style and his whole just demeanor. The guy is awesome.
It's funny because he started kind of late. He made a splash when kind of late.
Yeah.
And then he had a lot of time off.
Yep.
And he made a lot of really good business deals where he actually made some money, but was not on the forefront fighting the top guys.
For sure.
Like the tournament was really good for him because he got to win a world title. Like, he became a world champion in the tournament, right? Mm-hmm. And then he fights Taylor. They have a great fight. He loses to Taylor. Taylor turns out to be the top class of the division. Mm-hmm. He disappears for a while. He starts fighting in other places, making a lot of money, though.
Dude, he made a million.
And now he's
made a million to fight on Triller versus Ivan Redcatch.
Which is insane.
Insane.
Insane. Because Redcatch is literally an opponent for guys.
And he left in the stretcher, like, remember?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, he bit Danny Garcia. He lost a 35. He lost a 30.
No, but you're so spot on, though. You're spot on. Like, after the World Boxing Super Series, Prograis went like haywire, but also like made money. He's had the weird. He's had a very strange career when you look back on it. Like, it should be studied because it's like all these weird. It was on a graph. Like,
no, it should not be studied. It should not be studied. It should be like, wow, that's an anomaly. That should
still
never,
study
that,
it, though. Still
never,
look at it.
That will never happen again.
Still look at it and be like, whoa, look at this. Look at this career. Let's take a look at this one.
The Bella fighting on, like, New York shows to, like, yeah, I mean, I remember he struggled with, like, a local guy in New York and then, like, blew up all over the states and then the country and then became a world champion in the title in a tournament. Wow. And then disappeared, and then fought Redcatch for a million. It's a wild.
He also made a lot of money with Probellum. He fought like Tyrone McKenna. I think he made like not a million, but damn close to it. Matchroom also signed Andy Cruz, probably one of the best amateur fighters of all time. Guy beat Keyshawn Davis, won a gold medal, multiple time amateur champion out of Cuba. Lightweight division, man. I'm telling you, between 135 and 140, it's like 10 deep, but like awesome talent under 25. Guy Cruz is a beast. That's all I got. You there, Chris?
I'm there. I don't even know who you're talking about.
But... You don't know Andy Cruz? He beat. Mm-hmm. He won the gold. He beat Keyshawn Davis in the.
But where did you bring him up? Come from?
He signed with Matchroom tonight.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that. We went from like Prograis to that guy. I
head on a swivel, son. Yeah, I just saw it too.
It's 2 in the morning.
It is 1:50. It's 12:58. Before we say goodbye, Steve Spark, I love you, man. You got robbed. My parlay blew up in my face. A lot of people were riding with this parlay with me. I feel bad, but it's not like the parlay blew up and like I just had a horrible pick. Like, he won that fight. He won.
I had him winning that fight. Going into the fight, I thought he was winning the fight. In the fight, he listened, he had a bad start, he got dropped, came back strong. I mean, I thought he started good, got dropped, came back strong, late. I feel bad for the kid, yeah.
You don't feel bad for me? I lost $50.
Literally never feel bad for you.
I'm counting that as a win on my record.
I don't.
I'm counting it as a win.
People at home don't either.
Bank account isn't either, too. Bank account's like, no, you lost. DraftKings is like, wait, you're counting that as a win? We're not. Thanks for the $50.
That's how it goes. Yeah.
Damn it.
So, dude, DraftKings doesn't work in Florida? What?
Is that true?
Yeah, I tried to sign
up. You have to. I'll place your bets.
I got a VPN now. VPN from Indonesia.
Let's also. Oh wait. Let's also I'll email my guy DraftKings. We'll try to fix that. Give you a special Algeria treatment.
I mean, I'm basically a New Yorker.
Yes, so. You are. You're a New Yorker that happened. Wait, what's going on in the UFC? Cejudo's fighting Aljamain Sterling right now. I don't know who's winning, but let's go Aljamain. Go Long Island.
Aljamain is a Long Islander.
Yeah, he's a big time Long Island guy. His brother, younger brother, fought for my brother's promotion, and yeah, he's a Long Island guy through and through. We'll have another
show. I
should
spar with Aljamain actually.
Beast. Cejudo hasn't, like, I feel like Cejudo was the man and then left. At least, like, his first fight in, like, 3 years, right?
Yeah, it's his first fight. And he's, dude, very cool guy. I like both guys, actually, but.
Cejudo's, like, a media guy. Like, I see him hosting Mike Tyson's podcast, and he's got his own thing.
Yeah, he does a lot of, like, he does a lot of fight breakdowns and shit, too.
Yeah, he seems like he's a good character. It's probably good for the sport to have him in it. Yeah, that's what's going on next weekend.
Crazy to come back.
Yeah, it's crazy to see him back. We'll have another show later in the week. We'll see how this Canelo stuff plays out. We'll take a look towards Rolly Romero. We'll have some other fun. What's going on late? We're getting closer and closer to Haney Lomachenko. Yeah, it's going to be a lot. We have a lot coming for you down the pipeline. That's it. Canelo wins. We'll see what's next. Probably Bivol.
Dude, I don't know what kind of inside information you have.
I'm listening to Canelo Alvarez, and I'm watching him very happy with – I'm watching Eddie Hearn in pajamas, Canelo's pajamas. He's fighting Bivol September, and we'll probably do a watch party at the office. I have a grand old time, and maybe he'll win. He'll probably lose. I'm tired. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay on those DMs. We out.